This Bear Grease Report is brought to you by the Trail Center Lodge, Bearskin Lodge, and Hungry Jack Lodge and Campground up north on the Gunflint Trail, and by Energy Plus of Duluth. On the phone with us this morning, we're pleased to welcome Jason Burnett. He is a great-grandson of John Bear Grease, and he's an amateur historian who has done a lot of research into that particular branch of his family tree. He joins us on the phone this morning from his home in Michigan. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you on the line with us this morning. Now, as we chatted a little bit yesterday, you explained to me that that family stories, your grandmother was John Bear Grease's daughter, and yet the family stories unfortunately stopped with her because of a couple of unfortunate and early deaths.
Yes. My grandmother was Constance Bear Grease, was John's daughter, his third oldest daughter. And she unfortunately passed away at a young age, just after marriage. She passed away in 1912. She was only 22, and John had passed away in 1910. So my mother, Louise Lemire, didn't really have a chance to know either her mother or her grandfather. She was only 1 year old when her mother died in 1912. So, yeah, it was unfortunate from that respect.
But you've had the opportunity, and you mentioned especially since you've retired, you've had the opportunity to do a lot of research into that branch of your family. And while you've come up a little short on, you know, the some of the family stories and the lore that you might have enjoyed hearing, you were able to draw some conclusions from all of the different sources that you've investigated, and there's such a wide variety, about the kind of person that John Bear Grease was. And I found that fascinating as we talked yesterday. What are some of the things that, tell us a little bit about the picture of the man that emerges as you've done your research.
Sure. What I found out rather early on, I had been researching my whole family for the past 20 years, but I did a lot of work specifically on John Bear Grease because I found his life story, the more bits of information that I got about him or that I found out about him, that I came to believe he was really a unique individual. He was a fascinating personality from what I can glean. He had a spirit about him that, even though he's full-blooded Native American Ojibwe, he has that spirit of can-do-ness. I'll use that term if I may, and I think it embodies in a sense it embodies the American spirit. I mean, he was always looking for new ideas, things to do, how to make a buck and support his family, which he was very good at. And through his life that I can put together, he was a go-getter. He was always looking for new ideas and things to do. Now, as I mentioned, he was a full-blooded Native American, but he seems to have readily adapted to European culture that was moving into the areas along the North Shore in the mid-1800s, around 1850, 1860, right in that area in there. And he readily adapted to providing services for the Europeans that were moving in the area. His father moved to the Beaver Bay area. That's where John grew up at, in the Beaver Bay area. They had opened a sawmill there, and his father began working there. His father was also quite an entrepreneur also. But John, early on, lived in two worlds. He never forgot his Native American culture. He learned the ways from his father. He became an expert hunter and trapper. He was also a guidesman for hunters, for prospectors, and that. He would take trips around. He would lead people throughout the whole North Shore area. He became very adept at that. And as you know, he's most famous for being the mail carrier. He did that job from 1879 to 1899, which there's a lot of history written about him and his exploits and deeds during the course of that employment. And again, I think it points out that can-do spirit. He was famous for, you know, getting the mail through, I guess that old postal adage, through rain, wind, or snow. He exemplified that. He really did. He became well known for that his ability to get the mail through on a regular basis.
You know,
so
Jason,
quite an individual.
Jason, one of the stories that you mentioned to me yesterday was something I hadn't realized, and I thought it was just wonderful. Can you tell people briefly about the time in 1891 that John quit over a pay dispute and how that worked out?
Yeah, it's sort of funny. The government would have periodic every few years, they would let the bids out for contracts to run the mail up the North Shore. And during this time period, a new contractor won the bid, and the contractor reduced the wages that they were paying, they were going to offer John to run the mail up during the winter. And John balked at it, and he said, well, that's not enough money. I need more money. Anyway, there was a financial dispute. And John said, well, I'd rather quit than work for that less money. So what they did, this new contractor attempted to run the mail by using one of the steamers that ran up and down the coast. And it didn't work out at all. I mean, they couldn't get in, especially during the winter, they couldn't get in close enough to shore to on a regular basis to drop the mail off. So it became more or less a fiasco. And after 1 year, they rehired John to get the job done. That was pretty neat.
I think that's wonderful. Jason, one of the other things that struck me when we talked yesterday is you talked about how much information was available from some of the small town papers of the time. They do the same thing that a lot of small town papers still do. They have kind of a social column, you know, 150
yeah.
years ago, they had kind of a social column, and they talk about who did what and who took a trip and who had so-and-so over for lunch and that sort of thing. And apparently, John Beargreaves showed up in those columns a lot.
Yes, he did. I found, I was quite surprised at that, too. During my research, I've been fortunate to spend a number of summers, a few weeks anyway, each summer up in the North Shore area. And I took the time to stop by a number of the local papers like through Beaver Bay and Grand Portage and Grand Marais and that. And what I found was, and you're right, even back then, they had the newspapers would have a column of local interest, they called it. And what surprised me, beginning around, I think the earliest one I have is in 1890, John Beargreaves became mentioned quite often in these local papers. And it was a boon for me. It provided me with information of his doings, but it also talked about his family. But it seems John was quite the traveler. He would go down to Duluth, to up and down the North Shore, and he seems to have really developed a relationship or rapport with all the individuals up and down the North Shore. And in various articles, as I said, they talk about him, what he's doing, where he's going, what his family is doing. And, you know, the more I thought about it, Lisa, I said, well, this is another example of John readily moving back and forth between the two cultures that were coexisting at the time, the Native American culture and the European culture. And what surprised me, or what amazed me, was, I think is a better term, is how readily he was accepted in white society, or the European culture along the North Shore at the time. I mean, it's rather impressive, and for that I give him a lot of credit.
Well, Jason, it's been fascinating talking with you. Thank you so much for all the time that you've given us, and hope we have the opportunity to see you here for a Bear Grease sometime soon. That'd be great.
Well, I hope to get up that way, and I'll look you up, Lisa.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Jason Burnett joined us this morning from his home in Michigan. He's the great-grandson of John Bear Grease and an amateur historian. This report was brought to you in part by the Bearskin Lodge, Hungry Jack Lodge and Campground, and Trail Center Lodge on the Gunflint Trail and Energy Plus of Duluth, with additional support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.